And mics are hot.
Hot mics.
And welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is January 10th, 2016, and this is episode 100, GameBuoy's 2015 year in review, the inevitable 100th episode live celebration, Fabula Buoy Crystallis, a GameBuoy spotlight on GameBuoy Live. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, we are taking a look at 2015, the year that was. So, please buckle in and get ready for that. But first, as always, our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy, you want to take us away talking about the Smash Direct?
Yeah, so we had a Smash Direct on December 15th. It was the final Smash Direct. And we got Mother Effin' Cloud Strife from Final Fantasy VII. Am I allowed to use a swear on here? Is this like rated T for teen?
I believe you can use swears.
So Cloud is in the game. I think he's pretty awesome. He seems to be pretty popular. We also got announcements that there will be another Fire Emblem character coming to Smash, the character of Corrin. And motherfucking Bayonetta in the house!
Oh my god.
Yeah, our gay dreams were answered, and Bayo is going to be coming to the game. And that also means Amiibo!
That is fantastic. You know, I've always been a believer that Bayonetta would come eventually. A lot of people thought Nintendo would definitely not include her due to, you know, she's a dead IP, Bayonetta 2 didn't do well or whatever. But, you know, I see this as a real vote of confidence in the character. I think she's going to have a great moveset based on the Direct. I am just super, super, super hyped on every level, because this, to me, is also a vote of confidence, you know, like I said, in the character. I think this means we're more likely than not to see more Bayo in the future. So,
yes.
Super, super excited. Can't wait. And, you know, like Slaggy said, I think Cloud is fantastic. So, super stoked. I think Smash, overall, this is supposed to be the last set of DLC. I think we can safely say Smash did DLC right.
Indeed.
Slaggy, do you want to take this next one?
Yeah, so we have our usual slate of follow-ups for you, and this one is a follow-up to Nobi Nobi Boy. We had talked about in December that Nobi Nobi Boy reached Pluto, or sorry, rather Girl, the friend of Boy, reached Pluto, and...
So heteronormative.
Yeah, right? So, on December 14th, last month... Finally, Girl made it all the way home back to Earth after coming all the way back around the entire solar system for a total trip of 2,489 days. So, in a way, Nobi Nobi Boy is finished.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a big fan of Nobi Nobi Boy. Not necessarily playing it, but it's super weird. I love Takahashi-san's work. And I thought it was super weird and super fun and pleasant. And I'm kind of sad to see it go.
Yeah, the final multiplier for the distance traveled was 2,015 times whatever people were stretching Boy. Whoa, stretching Boy.
You nasty. We also have word here that the fire and water combination Pokemon, the mythical Volcanion, has finally been officially announced. I say officially announced because hackers actually discovered game data for Volcanion back in the code for Pokemon X and Pokemon Y.
That's
back
right,
in 2013.
Yeah. Back with Hoopa, right?
With Hoopa and one other one. Yeah, there were three at the time. In any event, we don't yet know how to access Volcanion, but he will be distributed, and the Pokemon Company urges fans to stay tuned to official channels for that info when it's ready.
Awesome. We have some interesting Tekken 7 news. They are going to be adding the Faded Retribution update to the arcade game, which will feature new costumes, tweaks, and touch-ups, and new characters, including Akuma from Street Fighter.
Excellent. That's really exciting to me. You know, I'm a big fan of Akuma. I think that, his whole design is kind of like my aesthetic. I like how strong he is and all that, so I'm super excited about this. This will actually get me to check out Tekken 7 Faded Retribution when it hits.
Excellent.
We have a little bit of feedback here in our live chat.
Oh my god, I feel like Orange Lounge Radio today.
Oh my gosh, right? Evan Ashleen points out that Tap My Katamari is coming out. It is a Katamari clicker game for mobile. Rene Amador points out that he loves that Palutena knows of Bayonetta in the Bayonetta reveal trailer.
Yes.
And Sulker says that he's going to have to boot up and play Bayo now.
Always a good life choice.
Always a good life choice. We have word here that Killer Instinct Season 3 will be releasing beginning in March. And it will be coming to the PC platform exclusively via Windows 10 and the Microsoft Store on Windows 10.
Oh, that's great.
This is going to include the new characters Tusk and Kimwoo, both of whom are returning characters. We're also going to have the Battletoads guest character, Rash.
That's awesome.
As well as new ultimate techniques for every character. So, definitely something to look forward to if you like Killer Instinct as much as I do.
Yeah, Tusk is pretty cool, but I prefer Rumors. It's just more of a classic record.
Girl.
And I believe we'll be hearing even more at PAX South, right?
I believe that is the case, yeah. We also have some news here on Scalebound, the upcoming Xbox One exclusive by Platinum Games. This was supposed to be releasing in 2016, but Hideki Kamiya-san has updated the official Scalebound site to indicate that it is now scheduled for a 2017 release.
Oh, boo.
And, as always, when we have big delays like this, of course it sucks, but more often than not, a little bit of extra time means a better product in the long run, so... boo, but also yay, I guess.
Yeah. Over in chat, Renee says he's unfortunately heard that Tap My Katamari is not really much a Katamari game, more of a tap, 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 tapping game, and has a lot of microtransaction power-ups, so boo.
Boo. We've talked previously about the upcoming 3D remake of Seiken Densetsu.
Yes.
In rather exciting news, an English website has opened up for the game, confirming localization as Adventures of Mana. Unfortunately, however, according to the website, which only features icons for the Apple, iOS, and Android store device stores, it does not appear that the PlayStation Vita version of the game will be coming to North American shores. I think, of course, that is very disappointing. I don't necessarily love using touchscreens for controls in games like this. Either way, though, I'll definitely give it a try. I'm a big fan of Seiken Densetsu. I think that first game is vastly underrated.
Can't you get it for your Ouya?
Oh, maybe. And either way, I expect that as we hear more about this game, y'all will be hearing more about it from us.
Yeah, I mean, that really takes me back to playing Final Fantasy Adventure on my Game Boy.
Right, or even Sword of Mana on GBA.
And the whole Vita thing is disappointing, but honestly not a surprise.
Pretty much.
Salker in chat says, I was saying Boo Earns.
We have word here that there will be a new Pokemon announced for Pokken Tournament on January 15th. We don't yet know what Pokemon it is, other than the fact that it has the Kana character of Ra in its name. So it could, of course, be a vast number of Pokemon.
It's Rattata.
Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be fantastic.
I like shorts.
Either way, next time we broadcast, you'll be hearing about what this Pokemon is.
My guess is that Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee's Japanese names both have that raw character, so it'd be very surprising to me if it wasn't one of them.
That seems pretty likely. We also have word here that the 2009 A Boy and His Blob remake, previously exclusive to the Wii, courtesy of WayForward, is coming to the Xbox One, PC, and PlayStation 4 platforms on January 19th.
Oh my gosh, so in 9 days I can press the hug button?
In 9 days, you can press the hug button.
And in 18 days, on January 28th, If you do not have an Xbox One, but you do have Steam or Windows 10, you can play Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Well, that's exciting. You know, a lot of people pegged that as their game of the year.
Yeah, it's just I heard that it didn't sell very well because something money hat and who has an X-Bone.
All right. Well, in any event, that's it for our follow-ups, unless you have anything else.
No, I think it's time to... Oh, my God. Something's coming. Oh, my gosh. What is it?
News. Oh, my God. News.
All right. First up on our slate of news, we have word that Hideo Kojima has officially left Konami. That was effective mid-December, as we were kind of expecting. What's even bigger news is literally on day one, Sony announced that they were working with the newly formed Kojima Productions on a PlayStation Family console exclusive game. We don't yet know much about the game itself, but everybody at PlayStation, including Andrew House, who hosted the video, is very, very, very excited about this project. And, you know, we certainly are here at Game Buoy Studios as well.
So what you're saying is that Kojima-san's no longer at Kojima Productions, but rather he's now at Kojima Productions.
Okay, I suppose technically that is a true statement.
No, but like you said, this is great news. I'm sure that whatever he puts out is going to be absolutely brilliant. I mean, he's one of the visionaries of our time.
And Evan Ashlin points out that Andrew House actually has fantastic spoken Japanese.
Right? Yeah.
And that is true. It's actually really impressive. We also had some big news here that the Nintendo 2DS is finally releasing in Japan.
Oh, these look great, yeah.
And quite excitedly, it's releasing in a bundle with the virtual console releases of the Game Boy Pokemon games. It's kind of a big deal, you know. These are going to be, like, four different 2DSs. They're in, like, that sort of, like, colored, clear plastic.
Yeah, it totally reminds me of, like, the, like, purple translucent Game Boys and the N64 controllers from that era.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's going to be one for yellow, one for blue, one for green, one for red. And perhaps most excitingly, they're actually going to come with a download code for Mew that will be good in Pokemon XY, Omega, Ruby, and Alpha Sapphire. So if you're looking for, you know, a Mew, there are going to be some more legit Mews out for that generation coming pretty soon.
Yeah, no word yet on Western release, but I think it's pretty likely, you know, Pokemon and 2DS. Sulker says, what? Hashtag so excite. And Renee says, 2DS is seriously great for kids because, you know, they break stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, and, they do.
You know, enough people have had problems with the hinges on their 3DSs that I feel like that's probably a pretty good choice.
Yeah. Evan says, too bad the 3DS is going to be dead soon. NX are best.
Yeah. But, well, you know, to me, that actually, it makes sense why Nintendo would start putting out these limited editions.
Yeah.
You know, get all of the hardware that's already built off shelves, even if it means putting it in new cases.
And the 3DS really has come a long way. We'll have to have a little postmortem for it once we see the end of that generation.
Absolutely.
We have news that Final Fantasy IX is coming to PC and smartphones. There's no word yet on a Western release, but Square Enix has promised that we will be able to expect high-definition graphics, newly added achievements, autosave, high-speed mode, and several game-boosting features. And I know a lot of people seem to be replaying through Final Fantasy IX these days, so I guess it's just kind of the zeitgeist, really.
Yeah, you know, I've actually been replaying Final Fantasy IX on Vita myself, and I'm really excited about this news. You know, I actually never really gave Final Fantasy IX a fair shot, but I'm really coming around on it. I really like the way abilities work in the game and stuff, and I'm actually stoked about this. I may even stop my playthrough on Vita and just wait for the PC version now.
Yeah, you know, the PS4 version of Final Fantasy VII with the high-speed mode, a lot of people are saying that that's, like, a really great addition to it. So the fact that the Final Fantasy IX release is also going to feature that, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's funny because my biggest stumbling block on Final Fantasy IX is that sometimes it can move a little slow. Like, waiting for the ATB gauges in battle, like, man, did they always go this slow? We also have word here that Activision has bought out Major League Gaming. As of January 4th, 2016, Activision purchased Major League Gaming, according to Esports Observer, for the massive sum of $46 million.
$46 million.
Yeah, like, that's a lot of money. Obviously, you know, it makes sense that Activision is going to be buying esports organizations. They have Call of Duty and everything. I don't know if they'll do anything in that space with, you know, something like Destiny, but you also have to look at the Blizzard side of things where, you know, they have Heroes of the Storm. So definitely a lot that Blizzard and Activision can do with Major League Gaming. Definitely a little interesting bit of news.
So in Phantasy Star Online 2 news, huge news here for all of you who've been waiting. I'm sorry, I'm being a troll right now. Because Sentai Filmworks has licensed the PSO2 anime for North American release. So I guess, cool, we can enjoy PSO2 in some way.
We have Sulker in chat saying VV for life, obviously talking about Final Fantasy IX's main, one of Final Fantasy IX's main characters. And Evan Ashling points out, VV was also the best character. Nine had some flaws, but characters weren't one of them. Again, as I was just saying, I'm playing through this game right now. Strongly, strongly, strongly agree. The characters are fantastic, and Vivi in particular is great. I'm sorry, Psyche, back to you.
You know, I like Steiner, and his mascara game is strong. You ever notice that?
Steiner's mascara game is strong.
So, Gundam Breaker 3 is on its way to PS4 and Vita. That's going to actually be on March 3rd. And you would probably know more about these Gundam than I do, but you can play as Full Armor Gundam, Psycho Zaku, Kshatriya, Bayarlant Custom, Juwagu, Kapul, Gundam G-Self, and if you get a first print order, it will have the Gundam Barbatos 4th form.
You know, I imported Gundam Breaker and Gundam Breaker 2, but given Bandai Namco's recent predilection toward localizing these titles for North America, I might actually pass on this for a little while just to see if it does come over.
Yeah, Gundam games seem to have a pretty decent track record of coming over.
Yeah, you know, especially with the most recent Extreme Versus coming over, or being announced to come over, I'm pretty optimistic.
Yeah.
We also have word here, and this is mega, 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 mega news, that System Shock 3 is in development at Other Side Entertainment. Several of the original creative staff of System Shock are involved, including the original game's director. So, you know, it's something to really look forward to. However, they don't anticipate the game is going to be ready anytime soon.
Yeah, they're working on Underworld Ascendant right now.
Yeah, they're in the very early stages of development. It's going to be a few years, but System Shock 3 is a real thing, and we're going to be playing it in the next few years.
System Shock 3 is going to be a thing sooner than Half-Life 3. Watch now, Gaben comes out with a surprise bomb.
Oh, that would be amazing. We also have some doomy and gloomy news here.
Yeah, this is a bummer.
In the form of Japanese game company Agatsuma Entertainment announcing that they are closing down. You're probably most familiar with them for publishing titles like the 3DS Code of Princess and the Umihara Kawase series, which we talk about a lot here on the show.
Yeah.
According to Famitsu, it will be fully liquidated by March 31st, 2016.
Yeah, that basically ruined Christmas for me.
Yeah, we're pouring out a 40 for you guys over at Agatsuma. We're big fans of your work, and this is just an absolute bummer. Unfortunately, going hand-in-hand with that, gamers across the internet have noticed that Umihara Kawase is being delisted from PSN, from the eShop, from Steam. If you have not bought or played any of the Umihara Kawase games, last time I checked, you could still find them on, like, Good Old Games and, you know, retailers like that, the Humble Bundle store. But who knows how long it's going to stay. If you have the chance, I'd recommend you pick them up, though. They're great games, and just I'm absolutely gutted to hear this news about them.
Before we move on, can I just shout out that if you're listening live and you want to join in our chat and you are not yet in chat, you can go to Mixlr.com/capped_spike, and all you need to do is make a free Mixlr account. I noticed that there are some listeners that are showing as listening but are not in chat, so come on in, say hello.
Oh, all right. Yeah, come on in and say hello, please. And last up here on our news tip, we have word that Kaga Create has announced that they're closing effective December 31st, 2015. You're probably most familiar with their various visual novel titles, most specifically Higurashi When They Cry, which has a pretty big cult following. They had previously published games under the name Nexat. You might remember them from the old days back in, you know, the late 80s, publishing games for PC Engine, Game Boy, Super Nintendo, and even moving on to Dreamcast, PlayStation, and Sega Saturn consoles. So this is definitely super, super sucky news. I'm super bummed to hear it. And we are also pouring out a 40 for Kaga Create.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Super. All right, well, with all of that having been said, it's about time to start our discussion.
All right.
So, Saigi, the first thing we're going to talk about here is our top 10 news stories of the year. We do this every year. Every year, of course, some of our listeners disagree. They think that we're missing some news stories. And the really cool thing about this live format is if you all out there in Internet Radio Land want to talk with us, you want to talk about what you thought the top 10 news stories were, please, please, please reach out to us. If you're listening to this episode via podcast at a later date, please, please, please tweet at us at GameBuoy.org. The .org is spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
At GameBuoy.org. The .org is spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G. Hello to Crystal Diaz in chat, and happy birthday, Dan.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Dan. All right, well, let's get this ball rolling a little bit. You know, Saigi picked some of these news stories. I picked some of these news stories. I'm going to start off with one that was a big deal for me, and that is the Xbox One getting backwards compatibility with Xbox 360 titles.
Basically, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, one of the big things for me in any generation is backwards compatibility. I'm a big fan of playing old games. I play old games all the time. You look at just yesterday, I replayed Asura's Wrath. I replayed Demon's Crest. Old games are what I'm all about. So the idea of losing all of those 360 games, not being able to play some of our 360 faves, is something that, you know, sort of always irritated me. So this news that the X1 was getting backwards compatibility, and in fact already now has backwards compatibility that works pretty darn well, is just something I'm super excited about. I think it's really cool that I can pop
Assassin's Creed 2
in, I can pop Fallout 3 in, I can pop, you know, Just Cause 2 in, and supposedly there are many, many more to come. They're just every month sort of portioning the games out. Which, you know, we sort of see a lot with features like these, but overall, I'm just really stoked about it. I think it's huge news. I'm very happy. Anything to say about that, Slaggy?
No, just that, you know, it's so funny that everything that was originally supposed to be true about the X-Bone is not true. Like, you know, I know it's still not anywhere near as popular as the PS4, but really, really came around. I mean, even before, you know, release, it ended up being okay. But this just, you know, is the icing on the cake. Got a lot of chat discussion right now about
Bidoof.
Bidoof and Zidane. I mean, that's how I always say his name. Is it Zidane? I'm like, Zidane.
I've always said Zidane, but I mean, yeah. Honestly, I don't really know.
A lot of consensus, worst Final Fantasy main character ever.
Kind wow. Of
the Bidoof of the Bidoof of Final Fantasy characters, apparently.
And then Sulker pointed out that he's tired of people trashing on Bidoof. And Rene Amador pointing out that he loves Bidoof unironically. So, let's see. The next big news story that we have here was
apparently Bidoof.
The dual triumph of Splatoon and Rocket League. These are to me, obviously two very different cases, but it's kind of related in that these are both games, they sort of...
For children!
Well, yeah, exactly. They're family-friendly, you know, per se. And yet, despite coming from relatively modest development backgrounds, have both just been absolute smash hits, absolutely ruling on Twitch and, you know, various streaming sites.
Yeah.
Both fostering, like, a real, like, competitive gameplay environment, and both getting a lot of attention for their perspective debut platforms. Of course, for Splatoon, we're talking about the Wii U. For Rocket League, we're talking about the PS4. But to see these games that are free of, you know, other IP coming out, being, you know, initial games in series and just absolutely knocking it out of the ballpark, Splatoon alone is already in Japan sold more than a million units just in Japan. You don't see that kind of success on consoles in Japan, especially for new IP in the modern age. So just absolutely huge triumph.
Right. I mean, like what you were saying, the combination of it being brand new IP. I mean, I think for me, especially in Splatoon's case, maybe just because, you know, I'm a little more on the Nintendo bent, but I mean, it's just huge. And like the player community, as we've talked about, just being really welcoming. I can't speak to Rocket League as much because I'm, you know, not as familiar with the community of it. But like you said, you know, just huge successes and showing that games that are quote unquote for children, you know, can still have a huge appeal. I mean, Splatoon, people, I see people still tweeting about Splatfest and being like, pizza versus burritos. But, I mean, how could you make a choice like that?
The next one, next news story I'd like to talk about here is the Konami, Kojima, and Silent Hills kerfuffle.
Oh, boy. Sulker's Team Pizza, by the way.
And Evan Ashling still hasn't played Rocket League or Splatoon. In both cases, I would recommend you remedy that. Indeed. So, Konami, Kojima, Silent Hill. Saigi, what? How would you sum up this kerfuffle?
Oh, man. Just Konami continuing to be the worst ever and saying, oh, we're just going to release erotic patchy slot games and we're not going to allow our biggest creative talent to even speak. We're going to remove his name from his magnum opus and release it in an incomplete format and not allow him to accept a game award and then make more erotic patch slot.
Cancel Silent Hills, despite people being super, super, super excited
about it. Off the store. Thank God you saved yours.
Yeah, we're going to literally like delist it and remove it from the store so people can't get it again. It just, Konami is, they're doing the most at doing the least.
Like, Konami is just like, what is going on? It's like, remember when Disney had a really bad streak in, like, the early 2000s? Like, after the initial, like, you know, Pocahontas, Hercules, after that kind of died down. This is what I think of, like, that dark period of Disney.
Evan Ashling points out that erotic violence is a tagline they used, if he remembers correctly. Seriously, he says?
Yeah.
And yeah, they did. They used that as a tagline for the Castlevania patchy slot game. So, you know, again, it's really disrespectful to these IPs that we all have really strong feelings about, we all love. And it's just Konami doing the worst.
Doing the absolute worst.
You know who else kind of did the worst?
Go ahead.
I would call this next one the fuckery of Inafune-san. And the failure of Red Ash, or Redash, as we call it.
See, I would call this the fallen redemption of Keiji Inafune.
Okay, so why don't you justify that?
Well, you know, you speak of the fuckery because for a long time, we were getting very minimal updates about Mighty No. 9. And, you know, like, it was delayed with, like, very little word from Concept. There was the Red Ash Kickstarter, and then they decided they were still going to make it anyway. So there was some suspicion that that Inafune-san was like practicing shady business stuff. But you know, then we were talking at the end of the year, like I want to say November. There was that great interview where he basically laid the cards on the table, and so I felt that really redeemed him, you know, for you know speaking up and just being transparent about everything. But you're right. For a long time, I was like, what is going on?
Well, absolutely.
What are you doing?
You know, there was the repeated delays of Mighty No. 9. And often they didn't even announce these delays. Like, we'd hear about them through retailers, and even backers didn't get updates for months later. It was, you know, pretty unacceptable. Very not a respectful way to treat your fan base. And I thought it really showed when, you know, they're not even done with Mighty No. 9 and they're trying to kickstart Red Ash. Man, I really want to call it Redash.
Well, for obvious reasons, yeah.
For obvious reasons, of course. So, you know, it's just, I like Inafune-san, but I definitely feel like he has taken advantage of the fans at this point. I definitely feel a little bit salty about the state of Mighty No. 9. I mean, come on, we're in 2016, and we still don't have this game. Like,
yeah, we'll see if it makes its February 9th release date.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, what does it say? What does it say that I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it? Ugh. On positive news, though, you know, for me, another big piece of news, of course, was Bloodstained. This was a different Kickstarter. This, of course, was Iga-san over at Konami, well, previously at Konami.
Nobody's at Konami anymore.
Right? Basically saying, you know, I hear y'all. I know that you want new Castlevania games that are in 2D. So let's kickstart one. Let's do just the biggest Castlevania-style game you've ever seen. And if we have enough fans, we will make this game. And fans turned out in droves. They ended up kickstarting more than $5 million for this project. It went way, way, way over what they were asking for. And, you know, they're regularly updating the fan base. They appear to be treating this Kickstarter right. They're giving fans pretty frequently, like, surveys asking for our opinions on, like, dev choices they're making, asking about, like, what shaders we want them to use, what character designs we want them to go with. Just to me, it so far at least has been the very definition of a well-managed Kickstarter, and it appears that we're going to get this style of gameplay revived, and I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, I'm super hyped for Bloodstained, and like you said, I think that as a sub-note of it, like, with the whole Red Ash and Mighty No. 9 thing, Kickstarter was starting to take a little bit of a hit. I mean, not necessarily Kickstarter itself, but, you know, people kind of didn't have faith in Kickstarter for games anymore. And then Bloodstained came around and is doing it right. So I feel like that's really going to help crowdfunding, you know, moving on. You know, we could have possibly seen kind of the whole idea of crowdfunding games crumble apart with the kerfuffle of Inafune.
Yeah, and, you know, not just Inafune. There have been other big failed Kickstarters, unfortunately. But, you know, that's not really what we're here to talk about right now. We did a whole episode on those.
Oh, yeah, we've done our Kickstarter episodes. Kickstarter! You'll get caught up in a Kickstarter!
So, why don't you take this next one?
So, our next top 10 news item was the triple play announcement of Final Fantasy VII Remake, The Last Guardian, and Shenmue 3. I mean, just watching that happen, we were like, you know, oh, Sony's going to have a pretty good conference this year. I'm sure there's going to be some good announcements. And, you know, because Captain Spike and I were watching this streamed live, not in the theater last year, but, you know, we were watching it live on your, I think we were watching it on your X-Bone, weren't we?
I believe that we were, yeah, that
irony.
Or the Wii U.
But we're like, what? Are you serious?
What it was are just you like, doing?
It was like, when I say boom, 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 you say bam, 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 no pause in between. Come on, let's jam.
What?
Check and turn the signal to the right.
We are never doing another live episode. What is wrong with you?
What? I made a Parappa reference. Sony. But yeah, I mean, just three things that no one ever thought was really going to happen. Just bam.
Yeah, Final Fantasy
Wham,
VII
bam, thank
Remake.
You, there you go.
The Last so, Guardian, it's still alive. Shenmue 3!
Speaking of making references, Salker loved the Crossfire reference.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, and another big one was that it would appear that game developers everywhere are seeing and hearing what we all have to say, and we're getting more playable female characters in games.
Yes.
Oh, snap. Evan Ashling says, Parappa references are fine, Spike. Leave Slaggy alone.
Leave Slaggy alone.
Are you making fun of him? He's your defender.
No, I'm making... Remember Chris Crocker, Leave Brittany Alone?
No, I knew exactly what you were doing. But are you comparing him to Chris Crocker?
Anyway, let's talk about...
Women. They're appearing in games. It's pretty rad stuff. We have stuff, obviously, like playable female characters in Assassin's Creed, which previously Ubisoft had said would just be way too
hard
to
render.
Right? You know, we have stuff like the Dead or Alive games not coming out worldwide due to societal issues.
Trying to try to take away my titty games.
Ah, but the thing is, ultimately to me, this says that, you know, game devs are listening to issues with representation. They are trying to do things right. You know, I'm sure there are going to be some slip-ups. I'm sure there are going to be, you know, people are going to use female characters incorrectly. But just the fact that people are trying, to me, is a really great thing. I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, a handful of the games that are on my top 10 list have female protagonists, so awesome.
The next big one, of course, is Virtual Insanity.
Oh my god. Jamiroquai is making a comeback?
No. You know, virtual reality, man, it's here. We got word, of course, that, you know, the retail version of the Oculus Rift is shipping out in March.
Oh, yeah.
There was a pre-order for it. It's already passed. I mean, you can still pre-order it, but now it's for units that are going to be shipping in, like, May or June or something. The retail price is going to be, what was it, $599? Are you out of your mind? But no, it, you know, it's a real thing. We're here. VR is no longer the
Renee
future.
Says, we are VR.
Obviously, you know, you've probably at this point played with, you know, if you're really interested in this technology, you've probably played with cardboard, or maybe you've played with Gear VR, you know, the version
I've played with Gear VR.
Of the, you know, Oculus tech that is fit for Samsung phones. It's, you know, it's cool, and it's here. People own this. You can go to Best Buy and buy a VR headset right now for your phone. Like, it's pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've both obviously used it here in studio. It's cool stuff. I'm a big fan. So, like, what do you think of VR?
I have some thoughts about it that I kind of want to share for my 2016 predictions and such.
Okay.
I'm excited to see where it develops. Let me just say that for now.
All right. Well, we have a little bit of feedback in the chat. Obviously, Renee said we are VR, as Slaggy pointed out. Evan calls back to Sony's announcement of the PlayStation 3. $599. Time to get a second job. Sulker points out Troops 3 virtual reality. And Renee Amador suggested getting a second mortgage.
Oh, that's cute that you live in an area where homeownership is actually possible.
Right.
Bless your soul.
Obviously, for me, the next big news story, of course, is that Bayonetta is in fucking Smash Brothers. Oh, and by the way, Bayonetta 2 is now super hard to find first print copies of. Obviously, I'm more excited about that first point, but the second one is important because it's a pretty good indicator that, you know, if Bayonetta 2 is hard to find new on shelves, that it sold out its print run. It appears to have sold out its initial print run, and that's a good thing because typically, if a game sells out its print run like that, more often than not, the publisher is making a profit on that game. And I probably don't need to tell all y'all out there why we want Bayonetta to be making a profit for Nintendo.
Well, Salker did make a point in chat that Titty Game is where it's at.
Titty Game is where it's at. Saggy, I'd like you to take this last one.
Yeah, of
the
course.
The big news story of 2015.
Yeah, one of the most difficult pieces of news to report that just really came really suddenly was the passing of Iwata-san, and, you know, just kind of on the positive side, how warmly the entire gaming community responded. You know, we're so used to Nintendo being like, oh, LOL, it's for children, the Wii U's a failure, but, you know, when Iwata-san passed, you know, it was just nothing but praise and about how much of a visionary he was, I mean, and how he just was really focused on fun and innovation, and just really a testament to, you know, even if, like, you know, like the Wii U didn't sell super well, under his guidance, Nintendo has really done some amazing things. And, you know, we talked about his history at HAL Laboratory and just how much of a hand he had in so many games that are absolutely love, that are, like, considered the best games ever, basically. So Evan Ashmeen says frowny face or makes a frown emoji. Yeah, definitely. Still tough to think about, but, you know, he left a powerful legacy behind, and I feel that Nintendo's going to honor it moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, let's move forward with our 2015 talk a little bit. Of course, let's talk real quick about the games that aren't going to be on our Game of the Year list, because that's obviously the part of this discussion people look forward to every year. Let's talk about the games that are not going to be on this list. And real quick, Evan Ashling points out that the Game Awards handled the Iwata-san passing very well.
Yeah,
Game
Awards
I agree.
Did super well.
The Game Awards tribute was fantastic. Really respectful stuff. And it was a big part of why I really felt like the Game Awards is something that we could use and that we need for the industry moving forward.
Indeed.
So the big games from 2015 we missed. For me, of course, I think the big three were Trails in the Sky Second Chapter. Obviously, you know, it's a big deal that that game is finally out in English. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I only just recently finished the first one. So it's definitely something you'll hear from me about in 2016, but, you know, I missed it. Like I mentioned earlier, Tomb Raider, I haven't gotten around to yet. Rise of the Tomb Raider, that is. I definitely will play it at some point, but I'll probably play it on PC. That's where I played the first one, and it's definitely where I would prefer to play the second.
Yeah, Evan Ashley says, so good. Yeah, I've heard that it's even better than the first reboot. Well, the reboot.
Well, we're on a 5 to 10 second delay between chat and our broadcast, so he could have been talking about Trails in the Sky.
Oh, that's true.
He even could have been talking about the Game Awards. I don't know how bad this delay is. So we also, of course, have Fallout 4 as the last on my list. I bought it. I installed it on my Xbox One. I got a character created and then totally failed to play the actual game. I'm sure I'll find time for it in 2016, but I'm just not there yet.
Yeah, so. And you were right. Trails in the Sky is what is so good.
Excellent. So, like, what about you? What were the big 2015 games you missed?
I mean, the big 2015 games I missed were the big 2015 games. You know, those kind of those AAA titles that were pretty well received, but just, you know, I just didn't get around to it. My list is definitely a little more left of center in some ways. So that first one being Witcher 3, you know, I know a lot of people had a great time with it in that, you know, it was very well received and pretty good, but I didn't get around to it. I've, you know, never really actually spent a lot of time with the Witcher game, so I probably should make a point of that.
Excellent.
Metal Gear
should.
Solid
Witcher 3
5,
is fantastic.
Another one that, you know, I just did not get to, but, you know, again, a AAA, but also great things. Assassin's Creed Syndicate. You know, I was just not feeling Assassin's Creed until you were saying, oh, no, it's actually a lot better than it has been in a few years. So now I'm like, okay, maybe I will give it a try. But at the time, once it hit, I was like, I just got too much else on my slate. And Fallout 4, like you said, you know, it was definitely something I was looking forward to, but just there was just too much else going on that I just really didn't have the time to put into it, so.
And let's see, some popular answers from chat. We see Renee points out that he didn't get around to Dragon Quest Heroes or the DLC for Dragon Age Inquisition. Both of these are fantastic game experiences. Evan Ashling points out Just Dance 2016. Okay.
This could be fun. I really like them for Kinect because it's more like a Dance Central experience.
Oh, excellent, excellent. That reminds me, I need to hook my Kinect back up.
Yeah.
And Renee points out he still to this day hasn't finished Dragon Age 2, which he definitely should. Oh, okay, Evan Ashling pulled through and pointed out that he was making a joke. All right. It is okay to like Just Dance. I'm only going to make fun of you a little.
That's rude.
It's super rude. All right, Saggy, last thing before we get to our top 10 games. How did your 2015 gaming resolutions go? Yours, I believe, were that you were hoping to play more PS4 and Xbox titles. This was 2014 was a Nintendo heavy year for you. How did that go in 2015?
So I played some stuff on PS4. I mean, it's just poor Xbox. You know, I think the Xbox's great. It's just, you know, I guess when there's something, you know, multi-platform, I'm going to go PS4. And, you know, I should really kind of break out of that habit. And maybe for things that aren't, like, super multiplayer heavy, be like, okay, I'll get it on Xbox just to, you know, give it a whirl on that. But you know, also definitely waiting for things like Scalebound, which now will be a little bit more further off than we thought. So, you know, didn't quite make good on my Xbone promise, but, you know, PS4 definitely is not just sitting around collecting dust as much as it was.
Excellent. Well, then that sounds good. Sounds like half of a resolution well done, which, funny enough, I'm in a very similar boat. My plan for 2015 was to play more import games than ever before. I definitely did achieve that for the first half of 2015. I was importing new games practically every week. But in the second half of 2015, I definitely fell short. I've had a little bit
less
time. You've
turned into a domestic goddess.
All right. Thank you. I definitely had, you know...
Cue Roseanne harmonica.
I definitely had a little less time for gaming overall. And there were also so many quality domestic releases that I just did not get around to the imports like I had hoped to.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty hardcore resolution. But, I mean, for the average gamer, for you, it's just like, eh. Revisiting your prime of the 90s, where you used to go to import shops and such.
We have word from Renee here, quote unquote, I need to hook back up my Kinect. Let me take things I never thought I'd hear on Game Buoy, Alex.
And Evan saying, I'm in the same boat, got them both, and haven't played my Xbone in over a year, so I don't feel so bad about not touching my Xbone as much.
Excellent, excellent. Well, obviously we'll be making 2016 resolutions coming up here toward the end of this discussion, but I think it's about time for our top 10 games.
Oh my gosh.
And Slaggy, this is going to be very difficult for you and I. We do have a drum roll sound effect, which we've talked about doing every year. Unfortunately, you and I can't hear it, so we'll just have to trust that it doesn't sound awful and go from there. Before we do our top 10, though, I want to talk about our honorable mention games. I have two. Slaggy, do you have any honorable mentions?
I have like 3 or 4.
All right, well, then you start, and then I'll do mine.
All right, so my first honorable mention is Final Fantasy XIV Heaven's Ward. And the reason why it didn't make it on my top 10 is because I didn't actually make it to Heaven's Ward content this year. I started playing in the summer, you know, just between work and stuff and real life stuff. I didn't get a chance to get to that 3.0 content. So I didn't roll an Aura, though. So, I mean, wouldn't have been possible without Heaven's Ward. So, you know, that was just kind
aura,
of my way.
That
was kind of my way to get 14 on my top 10 list. Even though it was, like, the content I'm playing through was not 2015 gaming.
Sulker, of course, is shouting out that Final Fantasy 14, he needs a group. If anyone out there has a group for 14, reach out to Sulker. I may have to come back to 14. I'm starting to have cravings.
Yes. What's one of yours?
Let's see. So my first honorable mention is Chroma Squad.
This
was a fantastic, cute little Kickstarter game. It is a tactics RPG done in the style of a tactics JRPG, but it's all like based around being like a Sentai game. And funny enough, like not just a Sentai game, it's specifically about like a tactics game about being a Sentai, like Japanese
show, like
Power Rangers style TV show studio. So you're not having battles as a Sentai team, you're having battles as like a director of a TV show about Sentai teams, and you're trying to like have your characters do like the most flashy moves in order to get higher ratings for your Sentai show.
That's amazing.
As someone who loves Sentai stuff enough that I'm about to start doing a Super Sentai podcast with Shane from the VOG Network, I was super into this game. I love its aesthetic. I love everything about it. Unfortunately, you know, it's a super indie title. It really needed a little more polish than it got. It's kind of rough around the edges. But it's still definitely something that's super worth playing if you're interested in tactics RPGs and Super Sentai stuff.
You know, one of the Pokemon games in recent years had something very, very basic like that, where you were kind of like the contests or whatever. You were in a Pokemon movie studio and you had to like use flashy moves. I can't remember which one it was, but that was kind of cute.
Rene Amador says that playing Final Fantasy XIV is his 2016 resolution, since he will be taking the plunge into the current gen with the PlayStation 4. It's also going to be his first MMO experience, which he refers to as his MMO deflowering.
Are you there, God? It's me, Renee.
All right, what's
I
your
must,
next?
I must increase my buzz.
What's your next honorable mention?
All right, so my next honorable mention goes to Amiibo Festival, Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. Definitely was very surprised at how much I enjoyed it, and that it was the title I enjoyed more than Happy Home Designer. Like, I just thought it was a really cute... I mean, there's not a lot to it, but, you know, I enjoyed quite a bit the, you know, times that we played through it, and it's just a very great way to just have a very relaxing experience, you know, if we're kind of smashed out for the night, which is not, you know, not a very common occurrence, but, you know, if you just want to kind of wind down and have a very cute little Animal Crossing experience, like, surprisingly really well done for something that I didn't honestly have a lot of hope for.
Excellent. Yeah, and that actually does sort of sum up my own feelings about Amiibo Festival. And, you know, Lord knows we're about to get crucified for saying good things on the internet about Amiibo Festival, but I really enjoyed it. It was like a board game version of a traditional Animal Crossing experience, and I'm not
punish
super...
you for not visiting your friends.
Right? I was actually into it more than I'm into real Animal Crossing, so...
And you were starting to get into, the, like, the animals, and like, oh, look at him.
Yeah, well, there's some cute alpaca, and Lord knows, I love alpaca. So,
We'll make a fan out of you.
My next honorable mention was Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain. I love The Phantom Pain. Let's be clear. I think as a game, Metal Gear Solid V is a huge, massive success. The problem is that Metal Gear Solid is not just for its emergent gameplay. It is also known for its story. And as a story, Metal Gear Solid V did not succeed. It has all of the setup of a proper Metal Gear Solid story, but it ends basically missing a chapter. Like, the entire, like, climax and characters end, because, you know, it's a prequel to some degree. Characters don't end where they need to be for the rest of the series to take place, so, like, there are missing events. It's just, it feels unfinished from a story perspective. And I do blame Konami, but
blame
I still
Konami.
Feel that it needs to be mentioned that Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, got a lot right. And as a game, it is an absolute hoot.
That's great. Do you have any others?
I don't. That's it for me. I thought you had one more.
I have two more, actually.
Oh, go for it.
So the first one is Runbo. Great title
nice.
On the Wii U. Just really fun. Just too many games this year that I had to, you know, make a few cuts over to honorable mention. And also Rock Band 4, which very narrowly did not make top 10. Just I wanted to save my top 10 for kind of more unique experiences, I guess you could say. And Rock Band 4, you know, despite some concerns initially about it being a little bare bones, really great. I mean, the tour mode is so much fun. We've got a band with Sulker. What are we called? We're called Intensive Purposes.
Intensive Purposes.
Is that what we're called? Or, I don't remember.
I think it's Intensive Purposes. Either way. So you a big fan of Rock Band 4?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's, you know, really feels like, you know, some of the note charts started to kind of get out of control in 2 and 3, so they really kind of dialed it back, and, like, the new solo mode is fun. It's just really great.
All right, and what is your last honorable mention?
That was it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well then, let's do it to it. I will start off our actual top 10. Number 10 coming at you is the best game about jamming out to MTV. My 10 best game of 2015 is Guitar Hero Live.
Whoa.
You know, I was really surprised. I'm traditionally a Rock Band man. I thought Rock Band 4 was fantastic, of course. But what really got me about Guitar Hero Live is that it does feel like the future. And I wasn't expecting that. You know, they went to a different button configuration, which I have mixed feelings about, although overall positive, now that I've spent some real time
with
Renee's the learning curve.
Yeah, Renee's chat says it's a learning curve.
Well, exactly. I was just going to say that. He's absolutely right. There's a huge learning curve, learning the new fret button configuration. But most importantly is, like, rather than buying your DLC, you know, you just turn on to the Guitar Hero Live station, and whatever's playing, you just start playing along to it. And it sounds silly, and it sounds like, you know, for people who are into score attack, it's like, okay, well, this sucks. I can't set my high scores. But it's a different focus, and it's more social. It sets you up against like 10 other people who are playing for like who can get the top score, and you're going to get the most like in-game points if you get the top score of those people in your group. It's just a really cool experience. I really liked it, and I've come away like hoping that, you know, Guitar Hero continues living. And just earlier this year, I was like, come on, Activision, let it die. You're just going to kill the music industry or the music game industry again.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that way anymore. Yeah, they really impressed me.
I really enjoyed like the one time where it's like, oh, that Foster the People song's really good. And I'm like, oh, that song sucks. Let's change the channel.
Which you can do. But it's cool. What about you, Saggy?
So, how are you doing the drum roll timing? Because I don't really know how.
Your drum roll just went. Go.
Okay. Number 10, the best Hatsune Miku Project Diva F clone with a canonical JRPG backstory goes to Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Oh.
I just, like I said, I had to choose between that or Rock Band 4, and I just had such a great time with Persona 4 Dancing All Night. You know, I really liked the Hatsune Miku Project Diva F games, and, you know, I thought it was great, and I was, I remember when I was playing it on your Vita TV, I was like, oh, I'll play one song for you, and then I kept just, like, wanting to unlock everything for you. I was like, oh, sorry, I just unlocked another song, sorry about it. And I'd say there's just, like, there's just enough of a difference between that and Project Diva to make it worthwhile. Like, you know, it's not just like a total clone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've always loved those type of rhythm games. Like, I mean, to me, it kind of goes back to Owendon, really. Similar in spirit to me in a lot of ways.
Completely agree. My number 9 is the best game about dancing along with your underage friends to your favorite JRPG jams.
Oh.
And that's going to Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Evan Ashley says, Nanako!
Right? You know, basically everything Slaggy just said, I think that the presentation is top-notch. The story mode, which, you know, it's a rhythm game with a story mode, is super well done.
It's a Persona 4 game, of course, it's got a story mode.
Right? They did a fighting game with a story mode. Like, gosh. Just overall, I was just incredibly impressed. Super, super into it. And, you know, I hope that we see more Persona music games at this point.
Evan says, what are the odds? We actually did not show each other our lists before recording, so that was just...
Are you sure he didn't mean what are the odds for a Persona 4 music game having a story mode?
That's possible, too. Good thing you're here. I was just about to ask you if you would say that everything's great at your Juness, but Renee said, Erde Thug Life Junessu.
Ah! Slag, what about you?
All right, so my number 9... is the best Doritos and Dew game with surprising amounts of substance, which is Destiny the Taken King. So, I was not a big fan of the 1.0 Destiny. You know, I gave it a try during the beta or whatever, and it didn't really click for me. But then when I gave Taken King a try, like, it suddenly really clicked. And, I mean, I've never been someone who really was into first-person shooters. I never felt like I could do very well on them, especially on consoles. Like, I got to a point, you know, in recent years, in the buoy years, where I'm like, okay, I can play them on PC all right with mouse and keyboard, but controller, like, it didn't click with me. And something about the way that Destiny the Taken King, like, the system changes and everything, something about it just really works for me, and I've just, like, I'm totally on the Destiny train now.
Yeah, that's great. Evan Ashlin points out we never got to do any Sparrow Racing League together.
Yeah,
frowny
I know,
face.
Frowny.
I am similarly frowny face. Sparrow Racing League was super fun. I hope it comes back soon. I know they've said it's going to be in the rotation, and it will come back, but I hope it's soon, because that was super fun. All right, my number 8, the best game about writing EA's wrongs. This is Cities Skylines.
Okay.
And, of course, this is basically the off-brand SimCity game, which is, in every functional way, exactly what EA's SimCity reboot should have been. If you're into SimCity or into city management sims, I highly, highly, highly recommend Cities Skylines.
That's awesome.
We have Evan Ashling pointing out that during the Sparrow Racing League event in Destiny. He bought so many sparrows and horns. Clown horn for life.
I need it.
Slaggy, what's your number eight?
My number eight is the best Doritos and Dew game that's more like a strawberry milk and gummy bears game. And that, of course, is Splatoon. I try to think of, like, the fact that it's a first-person shooter, but just, like, and this is what is so awesome about Splatoon is that it's a first-person shooter that's not violent. You're squirting inky paint around and turning into a squid and a kid and a squid and a kid and a squid and a kid. And, I'm sorry, it's not first-person shooter, it's third-person shooter, which I actually prefer third-person points of view anyway. Sulker says, LOL squirting, ya nasty.
Y'all got problems.
Right? But, like we said during the top 10 news bits, really just nailed it out of the park. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I was able to appreciate Destiny, is that I was able to enjoy a shooter game with Splatoon.
All right, well then, I'd like to go to my number seven. This is the best game about brutally, monstrously murdering brutally monstrous murderers. And this is Bloodborne.
Oh, yeah.
Bloodborne, obviously well known for being a super hardcore game. The setting is super dark and gothic and grim. But I found it to be a really compelling experience. I know a lot of people out there have. The darn thing, as a platform exclusive, still sold millions of units. The DLC, which I haven't played yet, is extremely well reviewed, both by all of the publications and just our contemporaries in internet independent broadcasting. I am just really enjoyed it. I liked the lore. I liked the world. I thought it was a beautiful game visually. I thought the play mechanics were tight and perfect. I cannot say enough good things about Bloodborne. Slaggy, what about you? Number six or seven?
Number seven.
Seven.
Number seven, the best video database search explorer simulator is Her Story. This was, of course, the very well-received FMV game. And, I checked it out it was on sale on Steam. If not, I picked it up because it was, a pretty reasonable price. And, it's an FMV game. You basically are just searching for video clips. But it was really compelling to put the story together and just see how it unfolded. This was, of course, the game that Sam Barlow put out. And, he's a legend. So I'm not surprised that this turned out to be great. It may not be for everyone, but, I thought that the it's all story, and the story was really compelling to see how it unfolded. So, it definitely was something that I maybe wouldn't have checked out, but I'm really glad I did.
Awesome. All right, well, then let's do number six. The best game about overextending yourself to overcome adversity. And this, for me, goes to the 3DS eShop exclusive Box Boy.
Oh, I get it.
Box Boy obviously came up out of nowhere, made a huge legion of fans very rapidly. It's just a really cute little puzzle platformer, can be had for super cheap, and it's just a really neat little package, some fantastic level and puzzle design, and just last week got a sequel, stealth released, to the Japanese eShop, which I expect, if it hasn't come to the North American eShop yet, will be coming soon in the coming weeks.
Yeah, you linked me to the trailer, and I was, like, squealing the whole time.
Ah! Evan Ashling points out, with regard to my last pick, he only got to the second boss in Bloodborne. He is bad at the Souls games and their ilk. Slagkick responded, I am not good at Souls games either. And all I can say to that is, Slagkick, why stop there? It's not just the Souls games.
Oh, and Evan also was replying to people's talking about squirting, saying ink. It's just ink, weirdos.
The chat got a little blue for a moment, but we're back.
At least it wasn't Horde House.
Slaggy, what's your number six?
My number six is the best game about you and two clones solving puzzles with bombs, swords, and arrows. And that award goes to Triforce Heroes.
Woo!
You know, again, another big surprise that the most fun Zelda game in quite a while is one that tries something a little different. And I say a little different because it's still very much a kind of Four Swords game at its heart, but, you know, does some different things. There's the Totem Link thing, which is really fun. And, I mean, I just have a lot of fun playing it by myself and with you and Salker making Link totems. So, it just really makes me hopeful for the franchise because, you know, Zelda has, you know, kind of been stale a little bit over the years. So, I like seeing things shaken up and also Link in a dress. Like, F yeah.
Sulker in chat says, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Denata. What about you? What's your number five?
Number five. Best revitalization of a game everyone played to death while simultaneously complaining about it. This, of course, goes to Destiny the Taken King.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, everything Slackkick just said about Destiny the Taken King applies. Except, you know, I quite liked the game in its original iteration. It's just that the Taken King, the ways that they polished things, the things they changed, obviously the fact that it now has a cohesive story, that element that the individual missions now have elements of storytelling within
them. Now that Dinklebot is out of the game.
Environmental, you know, interactions happening. It's a better game. And, you know, the new raids are the new raid is super cool. It's super fun. I actually have played it with Evan Ashling in chat. It's so cool, and I just overall have nothing but good things to say about Destiny the Taken King. I think this new model of doing live events rather than, you know, quarterly DLC packages, I think it's great. It keeps the game fresh. I have, again, nothing but good things to say about it. And Evan says, we need to get Slag into the raid soon.
Yes.
I agree.
I need to get my hunter leveled up.
Yes. Slaggy, what's your number five?
Number five is the best game about mythical Japanese monsters that cause problems for you. That is Yokai Watch. You know, of course, huge in Japan. And just, it has that, like, I mean, you said LOL Ni No Kuni, but, I mean, it has that level 5 polish. I mean, it really, in a lot of ways, reminded me of Fantasy Life. Just kind of like the way, like, you traverse the map and stuff. So, I mean, it definitely felt super level 5. And, you know, we talked about on the Pokemon episode a couple years back that monster hunting games can be very easy to do them wrong or to do them poorly. But, I mean, honestly, this is kind of the future, TBH. Like, I can already see, like, Yokai is super popular with kids. And, I mean, it's huge in Japan already. So, I think we're definitely going to keep seeing more and more Yokai. And I'm all for it. Like, I think that it's really well done. I think the writing is actually, like, really clever. I mean, it's level 5. Level 5 is pretty effing fantastic.
Evan points out he finally saw some Yo-Kai Watch toys at Walmart the other day. Made him wish he was still a kid who could buy / enjoy toys like that.
Why not?
And to that, I can only say it has not stopped me from buying Yo-Kai Watch toys. And our crafts and services man here in the studio, Sulker, he has the Yo-Kai Watch and a ton of the discs for it. And they're actually really cool stuff.
Yeah, we basically spent like 10 minutes listening to him press his Yo-Kai Watch and being like, Jibanyan! Jibanyan!
Anyway, let's do number 4.
Oh, we're getting down to the wire here.
The best game about saving irritating teens you don't like. And the winner is Until Dawn.
Oh!
You know, I definitely opened my mind a little bit this year to, like, narrative games. You know, I had previously complained
story
here.
And games?
I had previously complained in one of our year-end wrap-ups about, you know, how everyone was losing their shit over the Telltale games. And, you know, I've been trying to be a little more open-minded, and I actually felt like Until Dawn was a fantastic game. I love the story. I love horror movies. So, you know, Until Dawn is basically just an interactive horror movie, and I think it's an interactive horror movie done right. I loved all of the various dialogue choices. I loved the fact that you could, to some degree, change the characterizations of the characters. Like, you know, when you start off The one of the main characters, Mike, is definitely a douche. But like, if you pick all of his like more compassionate lines as you play, he comes off a little less douchey. So I was actually kind of into it. Like, it definitely formed like a storyline of character development in my game, and maybe it's just because of the way I was playing it, but, you know, by the end, Sulker and I were sitting playing through this entire game, and by the end, like, any time anything happened to that character, even though initially we were like, oh god, this bitch, by the end, it was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, is he gonna be alright? So, definitely got super into it, I got very invested, and...
That's great.
I have, again, you know, to me, it's one of those things, that if you like horror and you have a PlayStation 4, I feel like Until Dawn is a must-play. Sayu, what about you? Number four.
All right, number four is the best game about playing detective with your sapient robot friend. And that goes to Read-Only Memories. Woo! Full disclosure, since that's a, you know, thing that is ethical in games journalism right now, I do know the folks at Midbossy made this, but...
Did you kickstart it?
I did kickstart it. But, that said, you know, my enjoyment of the game is totally removed from the people who made it. You know, even though I am a fan of those people. You know, it's a great throwback adventure game that really does away with a lot of the kind of... Which I think can be annoying, like, kind of... picky puzzle elements. You know, a lot of it just was a really a lot more dialogue based, so in some ways it's a little more on the visual novel side, which I mean that works for me personally, but the character development and the writing is just great. I mean, the music is fantastic, the visual look of it just it, like, really works. And you know, I had a lot of feels at the end of the game. Like, you know, for a first-time game from an independent studio, I mean, really, really a great effort, and, you know, getting the recognition it deserves, I think.
Excellent. Let's see, we have here some feedback in chat. Evan points out that in Until Dawn, Emily is a bitch no matter what you do. She is the only unredeemable character. I would agree.
God, Emily.
She really is a complete bitch. And Crystal D points out that she is reminding Dan that they really need to finish Until Dawn. Yes, yes you do. So, Saya, anything else, or do we go to number three?
Let's go to number three.
Number three. The best game about the consequences of choice. And this is another big narrative game. Those of you, of course, who play these kinds of games already know what I'm going to say. My number three game of 2015 is Life is
Tales from the Borderlands?
Strange.
I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
No, it's not Tales from the Borderlands. It is Life is Strange. Life is Strange is a really touching story. It has a really cool conceit as far as like the main gameplay mechanic, so to speak. Made by Don't Nod Entertainment. They previously did Remember Me, which,
yeah,
despite having being, you know, an action game, had some similar beats as far as storytelling, but Life is Strange ultimately was a lot more effective. I feel like the less you know about the Life is Strange story, the better, so I'm just going to say, you know, it really touched me. It gave me a lot of feelings, and it actually made me, like, legit ugly cry at one point, so... I think Life is Strange is an absolute must-play. It's available on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and I definitely think that it's something you should check out if you're interested in storytelling in games. Slaggy?
My number three is the best game about living out your childhood game design fantasies, and that goes to Super Mario Maker. Oh! You know, I mean, I've talked about Mario Maker so much. I mean, it's just, it's like full circle for those of us who grew up with the original Super Mario Brothers games. And I want to see more things like this, whether it's like, you know, Zelda Maker, Metroid Maker, I don't care what it is. I will continue to support this sort of, game design as game and game design model. Like, whether it's Nintendo or not, I mean, it really, like, the thing that really stands out is it makes me more deeply appreciate, like, just how much thought goes into the level design. I mean, in Mario games specifically, but also just in general, and, like, what makes a good platformer, you know, and to think about that on an even deeper level. I mean, that's a testament to, you know, how much of an impact Mario Maker has, but also it's just, it's fun. I mean, to play around and see what works in your level and, you know, make levels inspired by whatever era of Mario was your favorite. It's just, it's so much fun. And then seeing what your friends make. And I can't wait to spend some more time making some levels and hopefully see some more things added.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's see, in chat we have Crystal pointing out that they are trying to play Until Dawn, but they are trying to do it without their small daughter watching it. But then pointing out that their small daughter watches Ash vs. the Evil Dead with them and laughs at all the blood.
That doesn't surprise me.
So Solka correctly pointed out that their daughter is amazing, and she pointed out that she is proud. Evan asked, did we finally finish Life is Strange? And I believe I can say that both of us in studio have finished Life is Strange. So big fans of that one here in studio. That was your number three, right? So we're on number two.
Who does number two work for?
Oh, that is a reference that was stale 20 years ago.
That's not even the first Austin Powers reference I've made this episode.
Well, that's sad. Think about your life choices. So my number two, best Shigeru Miyamoto-san simulator. Which is to say that that is Super Mario Maker. Obviously, you know, I feel a lot of the same ways about Super Mario Maker as you do, but I want to take it to the next step and just say another thing that I really love is about Super Mario Maker is that playing the levels created by all of my friends on the internet and IRL, it's really taught me a lot about how they view games, how they view level design, and what kinds of games they're into. It's actually, in a really unexpected way, it's tuned me in better to what my friends like, so I can understand their tastes in games a little better. Shout out to Little Daddy's Pizza. And, you know, just, it's really taught me also a lot about level design. Obviously, you know, level design is something I've always thought a lot about, but it's really put into sharp focus. You know, what have I really learned? How do you really apply these lessons? And it just, it's overall, it's a fantastic game. It's a fantastic experience. And for me, it's probably the biggest reason that isn't Smash Brothers to own a Wii U right now.
And can I just jump in really quick and say, because I was thinking about your levels and then like Little Daddy's and everyone else whose levels I played, is that I get influenced by seeing what other players do. Like whether it's just adding like visual touches in, that there's some cool ways to make some like visual touches, like putting vines and such, or, you know, so straight up like, you know, different ways of navigating through the levels, you know. Because my earliest levels, and I would say most of my levels still are very traditional, you know, Mario levels. So it's really helped me think of, like, outside of the box a little bit.
Excellent, excellent. And there's a debate going in chat about the validity of Austin Powers references in 2016. And Sulker pointed out that Slagkick's carnival level in Super Mario Maker is legit.
Aw, thank you.
Slaggy, what's your number two?
My number two game of the year is the best RPG with optional bullet hell pacifist route. And that award goes to Undertale. This also is my soundtrack of the year, possibly of the forever. One of the best gaming soundtracks I've ever heard. But Undertale is just, you know, I had heard people saying like, oh, it's really good. It's really weird, but it's really good. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. And, you know, so I started out, and I'm like, this is an odd duck of a little game. And it just gets weirder and weirder. But as someone who likes very weird things, you know, it really spoke to me. The little bullet hell battles that you do when you choose to not fight violently are, like, really clever. The writing is just totally on point and surprising amounts of feels. I mean, there's so much. It's so much more under the surface than you would even think. So, I mean, so
Dan Diaz
so
in
good.
Chat points out Undertale, another game I should have played. Yes, Dan, you should. It's actually really fantastic. Just a great little game. Evan, haven't finished Undertale. Pacifist route is tough. Did you finish the hybrid route first? Because the game doesn't really expect you to go pacifist your first time through. And I think you'd have an easier time of it if you did, like, a middle ground run first. Either way, though, Undertale, fantastic game. I totally agree with you on that, Slaggy, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, the other thing I just have to say is, if you know what I'm talking about, lesser dog, you pet the dog, it was a good dog.
Feels. All right, well, I think that's it, then. I think it is time for number one. Best game about slaying your foes and then wearing them. And my number one game of 2015 is Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. This might be a weird call. Some people are probably like, oh, it's just more Monster Hunter. But the thing is, in sheer terms of amount of content, Monster Hunter 4 has more than anything. And I actually had to sort of wrestle with myself about if this was really my number one game of 2015, but I was reviewing it, and it's like, you know, I played Monster Hunter 4 170 hours. Compared to most games this year, which I played 10 hours or less, the vast majority... Hell, the vast majority of games, I would say I played 1 hour or less. I definitely felt like it was appropriate to say Monster Hunter 4. You know, I think it's the best the Monster Hunter series has ever been, and I think if you have a 3DS and you're looking for an in on Monster Hunter... I think 4 is the way to go.
Yeah, you know, I spent a little time with Monster Hunter 4, and I definitely saw big improvements over 3, which still was good.
Excellent, excellent. Evan asks, is that why you haven't been on Destiny lately? That's actually because I've been working on a Kingdom Hearts series playthrough, but if you want to run Destiny, shoot me a message. I would love to play. I totally miss it. Slaggy, what about you? What is your number one?
All right, my number one is best game about having time-traveling adventures with your estranged BFF, and that is Life is Strange. You know, another...
Yes!
Another example of a type of game that I typically wouldn't play. I tried that first episode of the Walking Dead Telltale game, and, you know, the Telltale games, I appreciate them for what they are, but they've never really grabbed me. But Life is Strange, the thing that's interesting about Life is Strange is that since finishing the game, I've read a lot of, you know, feedback in the gaming journalism about it, and a lot of people apparently have a lot of issues with this game, and I mean, I can understand them, and, you know, like, some of the writing is a little bit corny, but, I mean, to me, it did not detract from the experience of, you know, getting to know these people and trying to, you know, do the right thing and, you know, seeing the impact of your choices and, you know, really making me care about the choices I was making, you know, which I never really had that experience with other, you know, narrative sort of adventure games. And, yeah, so the games that were made my, like, top four were games that gave me feels, and pretty much Life is Strange gave me all of the feels. I mean, I love the fact that it feels almost like it would be like a HBO, but in some ways also MTV, like, science fiction, fantasy, drama show. I mean, it's very much set up like a kind of Donnie Darko MTV generation sort of show, even, like, you know, with the soundtrack and everything. So just the whole presentation of it is, like, I would totally watch this if it was, you know, a miniseries.
So, and, absolutely.
I mean, just like I said, so many feels. If anyone wants to talk to me privately about the choices I made, you know, definitely hit me up.
I came so close to singing some Morrissey right there. But Evan points out that, let's see, so much crying from me with Life is Strange. That's definitely true for those of us here in studio as well.
Yes.
Ashley Birch owns her role as Chloe. Definitely agree. And he called it Donnie Darko meets Gilmore Girls.
That is the best.
It really is.
That is the best description. Can I just use my time rewind powers and say that number one is my best game? That's Donnie Darko meets the Gilmore Girls.
Right? Like, holy shit.
I'm holding my hand up in studio trying to use Max Caulfield's rewind power right now.
We have Sulker, OMG, I need to see that then, DD plus GG, Oh, wow. Yeah, just absolutely fantastic. All right, I think that's it for 2015. It was a good year. Saggy, how do you feel about 2015 and games overall?
Man, there's so much good gaming. So much.
Yeah, I thought 2015 was a fantastic year. And it's time to start looking forward to 2016. So let's start the wrap-up of our discussion. The most anticipated games, events, and predictions for 2016. And I'm going to do all of those in one with just the NX. We know it's coming. We know that we're going to get information on it soon. And, you know, I hope we get a new 3D Mario game. You know, I've come around to actually hoping that we get a Smash game for NX at launch that is just a port of Smash U with, you know, a couple new characters, including Ice Climber and, like, Wolf. And then no other Smash for the generation so that we have a whole generation to, like, learn the intricacies of Smash. I'm just overall really excited for what Nintendo has in store. Otherwise, you know, I'm really anticipating Kingdom Hearts 2.8. Love Birth by Sleep, and I'm super excited to get another chapter of Birth by Sleep. And obviously, Dream Drop Distance in HD is going to be great. I'm looking at picking up my first real consumer-grade VR kit. I do have a dev kit for the Oculus Rift, but I'm going to make the jump to consumer grade.
Yeah, that almost made it into the show looking, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, they borrowed my dev kit for the show looking, the queer HBO drama, for one of their episodes that took place at a convention or something. I don't believe it appeared on screen, but hey, you know, they paid me for its rental. So
what's his name? Cool. Jonathan Groff? He probably put it on his head.
Yeah, if Groffles put it on his head, I'd probably be, like, licking it now.
Ew.
He's a QT. Shut up.
No, he is, but...
What about you? What are your anticipated games, gaming events, and predictions for 2016, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of more on the prediction side. You know, of course, NX. I'm honestly expecting that it's going to be pretty much what we think it is. I think it's pretty much going to be a hybrid portable and console. I mean, it seems like, you know, everything's been pointing in that direction, and, you know, people are usually kind of on the ball with these sorts of things. So I'm excited to see whatever it is, see if it stays named NX or if it has a totally new name. I mean, think about the Wii. We thought of it as the revolution for so long that it was like, Wii! And then, you know, just the
Wii!
whole idea of getting used to the title Wii. So, I mean, that'll be kind of exciting if they, whatever they call it. You know, talking about VR, you know, I know it's starting to finally come around, and I don't know, like, I feel like that we're gonna see at the end of this year that it's good, but maybe not quite ready for prime time, and still needs a little bit of polish. I think that these earliest VR experiences are still gonna be, you know, a little bit of a clunky learning experience. I mean, I don't know if that's just based on, like, what we saw at the PlayStation Experience stream where they were trying to, you know, do that battle disc thing that was kind of like Tron, and it was kind of not working. So, I mean, maybe that's unfair of me, but I still think that this is just really the dawn of the VR era, and we'll see if that actually, if it continues to pan out to be the future of gaming.
To me, you know, that is, like, the most exciting time to be involved in something, that early era that's just so pregnant with possibility. I love that, where, like, anything could happen, any kind of new game genre could be born, and that's, for me, I'm just super excited. I do think it will be the future of gaming in that it is a part of the future. I do not think VR will be the only game in town moving forward. I don't think that's where we're going, but...
Yeah.
I definitely think that it has some unique potential and design ideas that can only be realized in that format.
Yeah.
Sulker in chat was picking up from our discussion on looking and asking, OMG, can we talk about how awesome Russell Tovey is? We certainly can. I love his big, cute, dumb ears, his big, cute, dumb nose, his big, cute, dumb forehead.
He's basically
his big,
a puppy.
Cute, dumb hairline. And I like the way that he loves... dogs. It's pretty cute too. So yeah, no, he's pretty rad. All right, 2016 resolution.
I have one more.
Oh, all right, go for it.
I'm turning into a dog now.
Keep going.
So, you know, I was thinking about as we were putting these together that in 2016 we're finally going to see some very long hyped games. So Zelda U is coming, Final Fantasy 15 is coming, possibly No Man's Sky. And I mean, I know we've kind of been like, eh, about No Man's Sky, but if it does hit this year, we'll finally see what the big deal is. So, I mean, just not even necessarily us in studio, but a lot of games that have been hyped for a while are on their way. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see kind of do they live up to the hype or not.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, that was it.
All right, cool. So 2016 resolutions, it's time. You know, my own 2016 resolution. Oh, we have Evan saying he wouldn't be surprised if Zelda was delayed for NX. I think you're probably right. I believe NX is coming at the end of 2016. I think NX is a this year thing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And I absolutely anticipate that we will see Zelda release on Wii U and NX.
Yeah, kind of like
Twilight Princess. We saw with Twilight Princess.
Exactly.
I believe that is exactly what Nintendo is going to go for.
Yep.
So my 2016 resolution is to spend more time with fewer games.
Oh, boy. Good luck.
Right? A big issue for me this year, or last year now, I should say, is, you know, I played a ton of games, but some of them I didn't really dig past the surface. I'd like to not do that. I'd like to give every game a fair shake, really delve into it and see what it has to offer. And so that's going to be my goal for 2016.
That's a good goal.
What about you?
Well, I have two goals. The first one is to be more open-minded about different genres. I mean, I had two shooters on my top 10 list. I had an FMV game on my list and a narrative sort of adventure narrative game and an adventure game, like in a game creator game. Like, my list just is a lot of genres that I maybe wouldn't have typically gone for. And so I want to be more open-minded and not be like, oh, that's a first-person shooter. Not going to spend my time. So it also that kind of goes in with, you know, if my friends are like, no, this game is really good, give it a try. I'll be like, okay.
Awesome.
And also making games. I've been playing around in Twine and really just having a lot of fun is kind of an extension from, you know, playing around with Mario Maker, so I really want to try making little games. You know, nothing super fancy, but I think it's finally happening.
Excellent. To which Dan says, yay, making games!
Right, and Dan Diaz has been a huge part in encouraging that, like, for years now, so thank you, Dan.
Evan pointed out that Destiny 2 in 2016 will be the only game I need.
Well, yeah.
And he's not wrong.
Evan says he's been meaning to get around to playing my Twine game. If you're interested, that game is tittygame.com, TITYGAME.com. It's more of a little silly proof of concept. Titty Game 2, Castle of Collusion, is in development. I can say that.
I can't even. All right, well, that's about it for our discussion here, Slaggy. Do you have anything else to add for the year that was or the year that will be?
Just that I really want to thank all of the Game Buoy listeners for a great 2015. I mean, we had Podcast Crosszone 3 had a lot of support from listeners, you know, from across the country and across the pond even. And just all of your support this year. I was really proud of, you know, the episodes we put together, and the Ninty 90s were a lot of fun. So I just want to thank you all for your support and being along for the ride.
All right. Well, we've, got about 15 minutes left in this episode here. Let's talk about a pretty juicy rumor that's going around.
Ooh. Rumor has it. Rumor has it. Rumor has it. Rumor has it.
All right. Well, this big rumor is that the next Assassin's Creed is apparently going to be set in Egypt. Apparently, it's going to be released in 2017, which means that Assassin's Creed may not have a 2016 release. This game is currently, apparently, codenamed Empire, and, you know, it appears that Ubisoft is changing their tactic with their annual release schedule.
Oh, thank goodness.
This rumor broke initially on 4chan, which, you know, obviously we would question quite a bit, but Kotaku corroborated it. And one of the things to note about Kotaku is, you know, they have been breaking news on Assassin's Creed leaks for years now. So I think that it's a pretty likely bet. You know, we only talk about these rumors when we really think that they have a lot, you know, to base them on. So definitely, definitely, definitely super, super interested in this rumor. I think Egypt is absolutely a great setting for an Assassin's Creed game. I think that giving giving a longer dev cycle to Assassin's Creed would do it super well, would do the series super well. And, you know, after how well Syndicate went this year, if they could have the next game be another home run, I think it would basically repair the damage that that brand has taken. So,
yeah.
Fingers crossed on this
Over
one.
In chat, Sulker says, let there be people of color, please, more POC characters. And Crystal's saying, maybe I'll finally get around to playing one. Crystal, a big fan of just everything Egyptian, from what I know. Sulker had asked if the rumor was that Channing Tatum will be shirtless forever mandated by law. And Crystal's saying, I'm down. I think we'd all be down
and,
with that.
Evan pointed out he's back on board for Gambit. So,
and did you see his Beyonce celebrity lip sync thing?
I haven't, but that'll be the after party for this episode. we'll watch that after we have a show well done. That's it for our rumors this week, though, so I think it's time to start talking about what's up.
I said, hey, what's going on?
You know, for a moment, Slagkick and I discussed singing that live in studio. Ultimately, we agreed that it would be really unkind to all of you out there in Internet Radio Land to make you listen to that. But, you know what? Fuck it. Away, yeah, 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 yeah. Away, yeah, yeah. I said, hey. What's going on? So, this week I have been playing a lot of Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
I've, you know, obviously super, super, super into playing Cloud. We talked about that a little bit earlier. I think that Cloud plays really cool. I'm still working on my game. I finally sort of started watching, like, tournament performances that various well-known players have had, and I'm trying to learn some of those advanced tactics because I think I want to step up my Smash game even more.
Oh, please. You can look at a gif of a character's attack and be like, oh, I can do that.
You know, I've also been playing a Kingdom Hearts series playthrough. I'm working on the last run through Birth by Sleep Final Mix right now via the 2.5 HD remix. Since our last episode, I think that was when I had recorded, I think that was, since we recorded our last episode, was the Destiny Sparrow Racing League. That was really cool. I thought it was really fun. So yeah, gosh, what else did I play? Played a little bit more Yo-Kai Watch, played my Pokemon 3DS games in order to get the Hoopa from McDonald's. And, yeah, that's, gosh, you know, since we last recorded, I played a lot of games, actually.
Oh, man, I didn't even get to Hoopa. Like,
that
I'm surprised.
Sucks. Well, I have two. I'll give you one.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what about you? What have you been playing?
Just a correction. The I'm Down from Crystal was for Assassin's Creed. Apparently not much of an interest in Channing Tatum.
Well, she doesn't know who he is, she said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
he kind of fine, and he's a really kind guy, so it's cool.
Oh, man, I mean, the remainder of my year was just kind of going through playing my candidates. So, you know, I played through Her Story, I played through Life is Strange, you spent some more time with Undertale, of course, a lot of Smash. I really like Cloud, you know, really starting to kind of hone in what characters I want to start taking more seriously. Peach was originally what I thought my main was, but I think Bowser might be my main now. And Cloud, like I had mentioned, like way at the beginning of the episode, really working for me somehow. So,
yeah. Yeah, your Bowser, you know, we were just playing before this recording, and, like, your Bowser's gotten pretty good. It's rad.
Thank you.
People are talking in chat about Magic Mike. I just want to say I think it's a fairly underappreciated movie.
Would you say it's an underappreciated gem?
I don't know if I'd say all that, but,
would
like,
you say that
it's surprisingly fun.
Something that most definitely may not be on your radar, but most definitely should be.
No, I would not say that.
On my radar, on my radar.
All right, Slaggy. Oh, Evan points out that in Magic Mike, Matt Bomer is his fave. Matt Bomer is one of my forever faves. Strongly agree. Slaggy, what about you? Do we have social links?
We do have some social links. So first, I'm going to get on that question of the week tip. So we said this week on Game Buoy Live, we wrap up 2015. What were your game of the year picks for the question of the week? So we had a couple responses over on Twitter. We had Your Enzyme, who's here in chat today, saying, oh lordy, there were so many great games in 2015, even narrowing it down to a few was a challenge. But I will choose for the greater good. Number one, Life is Strange. Number two, Soma. Number three, Destiny, The Taken King. Number four, Dying Light. And I can't believe I forgot it, but number five, Until Dawn. Great choices.
Great choices, yeah, definitely. You know, obviously, we talked about many of those games too, so strongly agreed. Great picks.
Yeah. Lil Daddy's Pizza said Splatoon, Mario Maker, and Yo-Kai Watch.
Nice.
And Lil Daddy's Pizza, of course, being Mario Maker Daddy.
Zaddy.
All right, and I just want
to... Evan points out that everyone needs to play Soma. I downloaded Soma. I just haven't played it yet. Crystal, does Fallout Shelter count as a game? Because that is all I have been playing.
Sure does.
It sure does. It's a game. You've been playing it. And I thought Fallout Shelter was a lot of fun. Renee, getting thirsty, he'd gladly step up to Matt Bomer's Magic Mike. But then who wouldn't? And Evan, following up on Soma, one of the best sci-fi games ever. I haven't played it yet, but I did download it, and I'm looking forward to it. Renee points out he has been playing Final Fantasy Record Keeper all the time. Me too. I like Record Keeper a lot. It is actually surprisingly fun for a mobile.
Yeah, I need to jump in on that.
Final Fantasy game. Sulker, what about that Episodes game from Tumblr? That's a game, right? I don't know what Episodes is. If someone could illuminate me. Slaggy, social links, still a thing?
Yeah, so we've got a bit of a treasure trove here of tweets to dig back into. Going back to December, when we had posted our episode 99, Your Enzyme said, now I have something to listen to tomorrow, and the end of the 90s frown, which, you know, obviously it wasn't tomorrow, but, you know, back then. So thank you. We're sorry that you're sad about the 90s, but glad you enjoyed them.
And hey, you know, based on the positive feedback that our 90s got, we will probably do a few more, like, themed runs of episodes. I thought that it was a really cool way to have, like, an ongoing dialogue across several episodes. And we're definitely looking at other topics we can cover that way.
And to think you just started with a pun.
Right?
Back in December, Crystal Ideas, who's also in chat today, said, after your inspiring panel at GX3, Dan and I talked about starting a podcast. That was a topic all the way home. TY, happy face. And I say do it. I would love to hear you to talk about games. I think you have a really unique tilt to offer to it, so let us know how we can help.
YW, less than three.
Emiru69 had said, another great episode of GameBuoy.org and AnimeBuoy.org. Seriously, how did I manage to do laundry before these guys? Wait, people do laundry? I guess I should probably do laundry.
You nasty bitch.
I
just want to say, AnimeBuoy, we have certainly not gotten to as recently as we would like.
Life's been a little
busy. We are planning to make AnimeBuoy a twice-monthly real thing in 2016.
2016 resolutions.
Right, but it's just getting this live episode together took a little more planning than we thought. But now that we have the pipeline up, you know, this has been a lot of fun so far. I would expect more live stuff from us in the future. And I would definitely expect to see several times more episodes of AnimeBuoy in 2016 than we had in 2015. I'm sorry, continue, Slaggy.
So this was actually a tweet that I had made. I forgot to mention this. I had wrote a game bloggy on Emily Is Away, which is a visual novel set in AOL Instant Messenger. Probably could have been on my honorable mention list, but it's a very, very short game. So if you're interested in that, check it out. Because, and I bring that up because the real Dominia put my bloggy in her paper.ly paper along with some other things about interactive fiction. So thank you for spreading the word on that. And I apologize if I say this Twitter handle wrong. Eowyn Manering says, thanks for the follow. And, well, thank you, because you followed us too. On the end of December, we had Crystal Idea saying, yay, I just started listening to the micro. Thank you, I love you guys. Mwah. That was for the birthday wish. And we just happened
we
to
do... We love you, too.
We happened to do episodes on DS birthdays.
Yeah, right? Today's Dan's birthday. Happy birthday, Dan. I know we've already said it, but we're saying it again.
I had mentioned that I'd be talking about my GOTY, which was Life is Strange, and I'll talk about it on this episode, and your enzyme said I would hope you would talk about it, and I did.
Right. It's literally the reason for the season.
It is the reason for the season. We have Gamer Fox, who had said, your MarioGameBuoy.org episodes are great, by the way, listening to the first one now.
Aw, thank you so much. We had a great time doing them.
And then later said, been catching up with GameBuoy.org episodes and have consumed about 6 hours of Spike Point and Slag Kick in the past few days.
That can't be healthy.
You had said, oh man, that sounds hazardous to oneself.
Ah!
You had even, yes, you had remarked that.
All right, well, do we have anything else?
You know, we had a shout out. A lot of shout-outs from Monarch Piratica, a.k.a. Sulker. Thank you for your promotion.
Thank you, Sulker.
And anyone who had else had retweeted everything. I mean, the rest of the tweets here are pretty much just about where's the Mixlr list. But we did have a tweet from Sky, a.k.a. Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and the Voice of Geeks Network, saying congrats on episode 100. I'm very proud of you, BBs. Sorry I can't be there live this time. Have a good show. We missed you. And yeah, that's it. So aside from some communication about where to find this Mixlr, which has been cool. I've loved doing the chat with all of y'all and really improving those social links. I feel like my persona just grew stronger.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, I think it's time to begin the exit lewd. Slag, you want to hit those solicitations?
Yes. So we love your feedback.
We love your feedback.
We like your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews.
Like those subscriptions, ratings, and reviews.
We appreciate your listenership over on Stitcher Radio.
We appreciate your Stitchers.
We like your Facebook likes.
Like the likes.
We effing love Twitter.
We fucking love Twitter.
Our Twitter is GameBuoy.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
GameBuoy.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
And we also like Mixlr, don't we?
We also like Mixlr, yeah. This has been a cool platform. It's worked out really well for us.
Yeah, definitely look forward to a couple of live episodes this year. I think that this went pretty well.
Our anniversary episode, probably going to be live. Book it.
All right.
All right. You can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
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 And our complete episode archive is over on gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org. All right, I guess it's time for those shout-outs. As ever and always, my first shout-out goes out to VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends, as well as Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues. You'd also be remiss not to check out the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop-punk, as well as the Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin. You should also check out their sister show over at X Nation that you can find at culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. You should also check out Slaggy's show, Reading is Fundamental, which takes a look at RuPaul's Drag Race with co-hosts myself, Delvin from VG Realness, and Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio. That should be coming back somewhat soon once we have the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race. You should also check out the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. And last but never, ever, ever least, Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. Slaggy, why don't you take us to a game bar?
Wow, you really went for that. I'd like to shout out to my Hunty Bunch, which includes Game Bar, the gay video game prairie home companion. Also, I'd like to shout out to Koopa Club. That's Koopa with a Q and Club with a K. An award-winning podcast, about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist. The award was from their moms. I'd also like to shout out to the Joystick Jockeys, featuring two LGBTQ QT gamers who love games and love talking about them, and La Palanca Podcast por y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español. Over on the VogNetwork.com, that's the Voice of Geeks Network, you can hear great shows like OLR, Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, and Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female's perspective on the World of Warcraft. And there's also a little show called Anime Buoy, which is your port of call for your anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. As everyone always, I'd like to pour out a 40 into the Great Fairy Fountain for Zelda Reorchestrated, which is our, late, great, beloved resource for Zelda orchestrations. You know, they did a great little project there, and now people think of Game Buoy when they hear Wind Waker music, so that's the thing.
All right. Well, all of that having been said, I think we're done here. So,
yeah, should we go over to the chat as we wrap this up?
If you'd like to do that, you just totally cut me off, you jerk. Do it.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to... We got some chats in here. Crystal saying, yay, more Game Buoy. Yay, more Anime Buoy. You two get me through my work days. Hearts. And Renee saying, Anime Buoy should take a look at Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter is fantastic. It's definitely something we'll talk about, except we're trying to do more left of center stuff, and Hunter is about as popular as it can be. But I do love it. So, I mean, I could definitely see us talking about it sometime.
Crystal and Dan's daughter is clapping for us. That's adorable.
Aww, mega hearts. And, you know, I want to say we're wrapping up episode 100.
Oh, my gosh.
We could not have done this without all of you out there in Internet Radio Land. Getting a little real with you real quick. I love doing this show because I love video games. But even more than that, I love doing this show because I love interacting with all of you. You have all absolutely added to my life. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Thank you so much for being a part of this show. And let's hope that we get to episode 200 and can similarly celebrate then.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that we would have made it past episode 10?
I want to say thank you to everyone with us in our live chat room today. This has been a tremendously fun thing to have in this episode.
Now I see why the Voice of Geeks Network does it.
Right? Definitely been a lot of fun. I look forward to doing this again sooner than episode 200.
Yeah, and I think you were saying that we're going to be able to put an embeddable thing on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. And yes, we should be able to. So
yeah, so in the future, you should be able to just go to GameBuoy.org, and when we get the live, you know, when we decide to broadcast live, we'll let you know.
Yep. All right. Well, until next time, guys, thank you for joining us this lovely Sunday afternoon. I hope you've had half as much fun listening to us as we've had talking to you. Until next time, keep gaming, keep thinking, and see you, Space Cowboy.
live show. It's a Game Buoy live show. It's Game Buoy live. Da 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 da. Why though? Do Game Buoy live show? Why Game Buoy live? Da 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 da. Because this is our gift to you, our audience.
And to just clear out our chat log, we have Sulker. Yes, congrats on 100 episodes. Come through. He didn't say come through. I'm adding that because it went with his yes. Evan, thanks so much for everything. Spike and Slag. You're welcome, but thank you for being a listener. Thank you for being a friend.
And if you threw a buoy and invited everyone that you knew.
Crystal said, yay, looking forward to the next 100. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for everything. Julie Newmar. Yay, Easter egg. Well, what would a Game Buoy episode be without an Easter egg?
What would a Game Buoy be without an Easter egg?
And I think we're done.